Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. Hope it's a great day for you. Hope your summer is going well. It is for us here. And joining me today, Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
Well, hello, Steve. And actually, I'm here with Dr. Dave Stoop today.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Mylon to show up.
Yeah.
But he didn't show up.
Oh, man. I'm so fortunate that Mylon was on yesterday.
Yeah.
They gave me the wrong sheets here. Okay, perfect.
Can I stay?
Dr. Dave Stoop.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, please stay. Don't leave us, Dave.
And, you know,
Don't feel rejected. Fortunately,
Dave is maybe the one that would be least affected by anything.
Least offended, yes.
Yeah. It's really good. Well, anyway, we're glad that you're here. And if you want to join us on the program, we've got 3 hours coming up, 3 big, fabulous, fun-filled hours, and I hope that you'll join us. 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number, and you know, if you can't get through, you can call us hour number 2, hour number 3. We're going to be here the whole time, so come and join us. But to get us started, you know, I was just looking over some of the things that Dave, you and I put together for Take Your Life Back. And, you know, we're really excited about this book in October, but also we're going to do the workshop. We're going to have an intensive, and really anybody can take their life back. And I just thought maybe you could take a minute or two and explain what people need to take their life back from.
Well, you know, we were with friends up north in California this weekend, and I told them about the book, and they said, "Oh, I need one. I need a copy. I need a copy."
Right.
And it, just the title itself talks about the concept, but what we need to take our life back from are the things that control us that aren't supposed to control us, either the issues of the past that still control our todays or the people from our lives that we cede control too, and we want to regain control of what God has given to us to be and to do. So there's a lot of analysis in it of what it is that controls you, and there's a lot of solutions and how to break free.
I want to encourage people to ask themselves a question. When you eat, are you the decider, or is the food the decider? Are you deciding to eat, or is the food deciding, I'm eating now, and I can't stop? When you drink, are you drinking, or is the drink drinking? Is it deciding? Is the sex deciding? We will now look at pornography, or are you able to decide, I will not do that right now because I want to honor God and I want to honor my marriage? If you're not the decider, if somebody or some habit or some addiction or something has really taken over your ability to choose, to decide, you need to take your life back.
You know, I was reading in working on our next project, I was reading in Romans 8, and I've always emphasized the beginning and the end, but in the middle he talks about how we have a decision to make in terms of what kind of things we think of. Do we think of sinful things? Or do we let the Holy Spirit guide us to think of good things? And there is a deciding element in that process that we often feel that it's hopeless, but it's not.
That's right. Well, the new project, of course, wait till you hear this one, Recovery of the Soul. And I'm very excited about that one. But I'm going to tell you, Take Your Life Back is going to help you with whatever. And, you know, we kind of trivialize workaholism. But there are some people that all they do is work, and there are people that are suffering and struggling from that, and we can help you take your life back from workaholism, too. 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls. 1-800-229-3000. Come join us. Glad you're with us.
I found a pornography on the computer. He had been signing up for a number of dating and sex solicitation websites.
The Women in the Battle workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues.
I didn't know anything about sexual addiction or the recovery process or anything. And one of the resources I found was Dr. Sherry Keffer talking about what it was like to go through the trauma from someone else's sexual addiction or betrayal, and I knew I'd found the right place.
Join Dr. Sherry Keffer June 24th through the 26th in Dallas, Texas.
As soon as I got there, it was a very welcoming, safe environment.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Women in the Battle was hands down the most productive, effective, and helpful workshop I've ever been through.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yes, we are back. You know, today, here's another step in defeating addiction by Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud. Number two is ask God for forgiveness for whatever you have done and claim it, receive it, and get rid of all condemnation. Another way to say get rid of condemnation is it's a shame to be living with shame. You need to get all the shame out of your life. So, you know, I heard this great guru, not a Christian guru, and I won't mention Deepak Chopra's name, but he was talking about the need for us to get rid of all shame in our lives. And then of all things, he says this, and shame on you Christians for shaming the world. I thought, well, wait a second. Wait.
What?
Wait. Well, why, if it's really, you know, if you're really sincere about that, why would you try to shame a certain group of people, and think that that was a good idea? It was really sad.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I have not found shame to be a great motivator of shame. I mean, of change. And here's the other thing.
It motivates shame.
Right, it motivates shame.
Yeah.
But we also feel shame in light of certain standards, right? So just being Christians, other people might feel shamed, even if that isn't our intent.
Right. All right, let's not be shameful and keep our callers waiting, and let's go to, I don't seem to be able to click on this for some reason, but let's go to CJ. Maybe you guys can click on CJ from Washington, D.C. Hello, CJ, and how are you today? Terry, you're going to have to click her in there. CJ?
She clicked in.
Okay. Hi. CJ.
I think we're not on CJ.
Oh. Hmm.
I think we're on the wrong.
CJ?
Okay.
Number three. Just click number three. Is CJ from Washington, D.C. on?
Mine doesn't. Ours doesn't click
there,
either.
There we got go. It. CJ?
CJ, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Well, we'd be better if we had been able to talk to you quicker. But we're good now. Now, how could we help? What's going on?
I didn't know I was the first caller. That's great.
Oh, I'm glad you are.
My question is, when do you know it's time to let go of your marriage? I've called
when they're dead. When they die, when he's finally dead, you say, okay, I'm going to have to let go of this thing. But other than that, we always got hope.
Well, that's the most obvious time.
But usually there's hope that's hard for us to see. So let's see if we can find any hope in your situation. What's going on?
Okay.
How long has it been going on?
Okay, so it's been going on for over almost like 25 years. We have... my husband's gone to every man's battle. We've done counseling off and on. I've gone to Sex Anon. I've gone to Narnon. I've gone to counseling just myself. And just recently, a situation happened where my husband was well, just say there's some legal things happening now with mm-hmm. our relationship.
Okay.
Well, with him.
Uh-huh.
And so I've talked to, you know, counselors from your radio station before, and it just doesn't seem like he's going to make the turn. It seems like every time he, I think he's making a turn or he's doing better with his addiction, it's really bad this time. And it's so bad that I've contemplated suicide again. And we have a child.
Okay. So all right.
It starts feeling so hopeless.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you,
I've been talking to friends. And,
okay.
Go ahead. I've been talking to friends.
Okay, so has anybody told you anything to do that you haven't done yet?
No.
No one's told you anything to do other than just go to the Anon meetings? You've never been told, hey, why don't you try this or why don't you do this? No one's given you any suggestions?
Well, I mean, like I said, we've tried a lot of, I've tried things on my own.
Like what?
Again, I've gone to counseling.
No, I'm talking about with him. I'm talking about with him.
Wait, CJ, we hear that you have done a lot.
You've counseled together even, yeah.
We have counseled together as well. I have gone to, he's been in and out of treatment programs for many years because of his, he's on parole. So he's been in treatment for off and on. Over the last 16 years. So this isn't something that's new, like I said. And I've even gone with him to counseling with our church in the past. And I've worked on myself as far as being codependent and just allowing him to be at his own demise, basically.
Okay, so has anybody said, here's what you have to do when he doesn't go to a meeting, for instance? Like, he's in a treatment program, he comes out,
right.
And then he should have a plan, see? Mm-hmm. And the plan
That's
should
correct.
Say he will go to this treatment, he'll go to this meeting every night for the first, let's say, 3 months. And so then he doesn't go to that meeting, and the plan says, here's what we're going to do if he doesn't go to the meeting. No one's ever done anything like that with you?
No.
And doesn't that make sense?
He'll go for a while. Yeah, but he'll go for a while, and then he just stops again.
Okay, and so when he just stops, then what do you do, or what have you done when he just stops?
Nothing.
See, that's relapse. Well, that's relapse. Mm-hmm. When he just stops, he's whether he drinks or looks at pornography or whatever or commits another crime, the relapse is the stopping of whatever it is that he was doing. So what I would say is that when he stops going, you call the parole officer or you call the treatment program and you say, he relapsed. He didn't go to the meeting today. So then they get involved and they say, okay, well, wait a second. What's going on? We got to, you know, this is part of the deal. And that way you're not waiting for the big disaster to occur again before you do something.
Right. Because, CJ, it sounds like you have no recourse. It's like as long as he's following through, that's great. But as soon as he doesn't, then, now what do? You're just kind of at, you know, the whim of his addiction and whether he's working a program or not. So because of the severity and longevity of it, that means things must be a lot tighter in terms of, you know, him being in program and doing what he needs to do. He doesn't have the luxury of going for a while and then say, oh, okay, I've done that. I'm done now. No, this is lifelong now, where he's got to be in working a program, having a sponsor, having an accountability group and people that you can touch base with. That's the only way for you guys to survive together.
Dave, any insights on that?
Well, you've tried the traditional things.
Yeah, and I commend
CJ,
you for that.
And you've worked hard at it. Mm-hmm. But what you haven't done is hold his feet to the fire when he begins to relapse. And you haven't you been involved in some of the family programs with the treatment centers and the rehab centers?
Yes, I have. Okay. And like I said, we'll go, and then he just stops.
No, but what you've learned is about relapse should be a red flag to you the minute it happens.
Right.
And he probably won't listen to you, it sounds like, from the kind of person you're describing.
And some of the times when the relapse happens, I don't know it's coming until something major happens.
Well, you know it's coming if he stops his program, if he stops doing the meetings and
right,
that.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Because that's a setup. It's just a matter of time. And each time it happens more quickly.
There's research on what works in terms of treating addictions and alcoholism, in that you got to do 90 meetings in 90 days, at least that many, and then you've got to stabilize it about 4 meetings a week for it to really be effective. Because if you don't do that, you're losing the battle and you'll relapse. It's just a proven fact.
Okay, so when's the last time he was in treatment?
I want to say 2013.
Well, so it's been a long time. And so, And so what's he doing now that is violating his parole? Is he drinking?
I can't talk about the case right now.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay, so whatever it is, you need to tell him, honey, I've almost killed myself over this. So the least I could do is let you know that I'm going to have to tell your parole officer that you're breaking your parole.
Well, they already have him in custody, so they already know.
He is
that's
in
what
custody.
I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, it's already
bad.
Gone to that level
yeah.
now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't
so,
sound like he's growing up at all. He's
right.
staying the
no, it doesn't.
Rebellious
no.
teenager, and he had 25 years
so,
of it.
So, CJ, you're wanting to know if you can leave the marriage.
Yes.
Yeah. Does that feel like it would give you hope?
I don't know.
Is anybody telling you?
I don't think he's going to. It's ever going to change because, mm-hmm. like I said, he won't work a program, and so I could keep getting, you know, disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this is. Deeply disappointed because he's never done anything like this since we've been together in the 25 years. You know, he did stuff before we were together and he served time, but now, you know, this is a whole nother level.
Now, is anybody telling you that you don't have? Is anybody telling you you don't have grounds for divorce?
No, nobody's telling me that.
And you think you do,
not
right?
Well, he's been involved.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
He's been involved with other women. And,
yeah. Okay.
And that's been recent. So
you do have grounds mm-hmm. for divorce, and that could be the thing that would motivate him to change. If you did
right.
let him know, I'm doing this now.
What do you hold on to in hope, CJ? What gives you hope? Why do you keep trying?
My son.
How old is your son?
When I listen, he's 11. And when I listen to, I get mixed signals when I listen to different broadcasts and I listen to different messages from, you know, different pastors and talking about divorce and talking about hanging in there. And,
CJ, your husband has not hung in there.
Right.
You're hanging on to something that he's already killed.
And when you hang on to that, you're
right?
creating an image in your son's mind as to what a marriage is, and it's not what you want it to be.
And God can do anything when you have two people that are willing, but you have one person that's willing and one mm-hmm. that isn't, and God isn't going to decide that for him. And so I don't want you to listen to the other people. You listen to us. We make a lot of study and a lot of trouble to give you the true truth. And here's the true truth.
Exactly.
What you have done by hanging on has not helped, and in fact, it's gotten worse. So maybe if you quit listening to them and you take the action that we're talking about, it has a greater chance of producing the change that you want to see. But whether it does or not, you're going to show an 11-year-old, son, sometimes men, they don't step up. They don't do honorable things. And when that happens, the women that they're married to have to say goodbye to them when they're unfaithful. That's a powerful message too, versus we're just going to hang on no matter what daddy does. And and so far, as I said, and as you've said, it's just made it worse. Now, you have spent so much effort, so much difficulty and struggle, and you're suicidal. And I want to help you. I want you to be encouraged so the 11-year-old has a healthy mom, even though he doesn't have a healthy dad. Hi, Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich. We want to talk to you about our Intimacy Intensive for Marriages.
The Intimacy in Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 22nd through the 24th.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together. We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy levels of their life.
One of the things that we're going to do in this weekend is address the issues of sexuality, emotional intimacy, physical touch, things that the church traditionally does not address. We're going to be a place where you can come and really bring the real you, your real marriage, and it can be a very safe place.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
You come join us. We would love to have you there. I think we can meet some needs for you. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and I'm going to do a few things. I'm going to send her Healing as a Choice. I'm going to give her a subscription to tv.newlife.com. I hope that is helpful. And I just feel so bad for her. All of this effort, and no one really giving her a plan of what if. You know, when you go into a treatment program, you always walk out of there with a what if. Yeah, I know you're not going to do it anymore, but what if you do? Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to put into place. And so when you don't have that, it just gets worse, which it has gotten worse. And the other thing is people telling her, I mean, it's just, look, it's so easy to say God can do anything, hang in there. Hey, she's been hanging in there. It just gets worse and worse. Come on, encourage her. And here's the thing. We've got to help this 11-year-old boy see what is acceptable and what is not, and that people have limits and they don't go beyond those limits. I tell you, I'm so bugged at some of the advice that people get. Oh, my goodness.
You know, you can listen to our program and listen to the advice, but don't listen to most of what the other. but the thing I'm thinking is, you know, you need to also have some real live people, pastors that you can check things with that will listen to you. And you don't just listen to what's on the radio itself by itself.
You need lots of different types of input. And then you weigh them out and what pertains most to your situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you know, there's tremendous training and for pastors, for pastoral counselors, therapists, coaches, and all. So there's a lot. There's so much great advice. But I was talking to someone who contacted me about, was this abusive, what this church did to her? And she explained all of this, how her father had treated her. And they said, no, that's not abuse. And I said, listen, it's your father had you in an emotionally incestuous relationship. And he was so fused with you. It was unbelievable. And so I said to her this, if you went into the supermarket that you'd always gone to and there was a stench that you could hardly stand and you went back to the meat counter and they said, we believe in serving people skunk meat. We think it's the best thing ever. I said, would you ever go back to that market again because of the way it smelled and the philosophy that went against everything you believe? She said, absolutely not. I said, wouldn't you say, even though mom and dad shopped here, it's not the same. I can't go back where they serve skunk and it smells like skunk. And I just don't understand. So I asked her, why would you go back to that church where they told her to sit down and listen to them?
And get used to the smell of skunk.
Right.
Hey, I got to take issue with you, Steve.
Okay, good.
You talk about the great training that pastors have. I've taught as an adjunct in a seminary for years, and most pastors don't get much training in pastoral care and counseling. And they don't.
Well, as an adjunctee, you would know more about that.
Well, but there are some who get a lot.
Yeah.
But they seek it out. But it's just not highlighted very often in the training of pastors, which is sad. I think it needs to be. I did a course on theology, personality, and pastoral care. And I said, in this course, we're going to look at all the things that a psychologist wishes his pastor understood.
Good course, Dave.
Then
can I take that?
Yeah.
Yeah. but you're not becoming counselors. You're just going to understand some of the stuff that we know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. Really good. All right. Well, let's go back to the phones. And how about we talk with Tina from Chicago, Illinois, listening on the Internet. Hi, Tina. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, we're glad you called. How could we help?
I'm trying to understand how a man can go from wanting children and completely gung-ho on having children, and then 2.5 years later, I don't want children at all, I want to prevent it at all costs. I was dating a man for 2.5 years, we've broken up because of this, and I'm going through this grieving process, and I'm trying to understand, and I'm grieving the end of the relationship, and I'm also grieving ever having kids, because I'm now 43, and I'm obviously not going to be jumping into another relationship right away.
Right.
Oh. You can always adopt, Tina.
Yeah. Tina.
But it's still a grieving.
Oh, it's grieving, yeah.
There was a politician, well, there was a president that was kind of known for lying a lot. And I heard this comment, which I thought was just so insightful. And they said, you know, when he makes those statements that aren't true, he really believes them at the time. He is so unaware that of what he's doing. That he comes out of his mouth, he absolutely believes it. And probably this man, in the beginning, when he said he wanted children, he probably actually thought he did because he knew you wanted children.
Yeah. Or he was just trying to please.
It was a way to get to your heart.
Because a man will do what he needs to draw the woman in. That's what he does. And so he's not just out and out lying, he kind of convinces him, yeah, well, you know, I've always hated children, but right now it feels really good to me to want children. But in reality, you discovered something on this side of the wedding cake that was a gift rather than on the other side. We'll be back after this.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix, so we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. I gave away a little subscription earlier to tv.newlife.com. And before we go back to Tina, we did this Ask Me Anything thing. I want to play it for you real quick. You can go, when you join tv.newlife.com, you can go to Ask Me Anything and ask anything, just like on the program. Here was the answer about enmeshment. Here it is.
Enmeshment can come in many forms. Paying everything for an adult child rather than expecting them to be able to be independent is always destructive. Let's just say you're paying everything, or you're paying too much for an adult child. Then you have to set up a plan that's realistic for them, so that you say, in this amount of time, we're going to be cutting things down, and then eventually you'll be free, and you're always willing to alter the plan a little bit, but you're always going to less and less financial dependence on you and more independence for them. Enmeshment can be shaming, questioning everything they do, telling them they're wrong in everything. Now, that isn't your role as a parent of an adult child. Your role is to strengthen, encourage. If you've got some good advice on an area that they're messing up in, you want to share your own failures, that can be great. But being open and honest about yourself is much different than just being critical about what they are doing.
Well, that's a little bit on enmeshment there. The person I was talking to today, the enmeshment there was the man had a sexual identity crisis, the father, and he would have his daughter try on the dresses he wanted to buy for himself. That's enmeshment, my friend. It was very sad, and the church not even willing to acknowledge that that is abusive. That's emotional incest. Mm. That's enmeshment. Anyway, yeah. TV.newlife.com, you can get a couple of months or weeks free. You got to try it. I think you'll like it. Over 10,000 people are signed up. Also, I mentioned those 10 or the 20 ways to fight addiction. If you want a copy of that, there are 20. We gave one of them out. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I want to go back to Tina now. And Tina, the whole point was that fortunately you discovered that he didn't want children before you married him rather than after, because that's when a lot of men wake up to what they really want, or they reveal what they really want. And somewhere in the back there, somewhere, I hope that you can feel a little bit of gratitude that you didn't eat the wedding cake and then discover this. That would have been horrible.
Well, I think that's where I'm a bit conflicted now, because at the point where I'm at now, I'm probably not going to be having my own children. And so...
Okay, but can you see? I know you're conflicted, but you can yeah. surely see that it'd be better to now be able to heal, date somebody else. Maybe you're going to adopt now or something. But to be stuck with a man who doesn't want children, you have no options, and you're trapped, and the resentment and the bitterness.
But I see what you're saying, yeah. Tina, because it's a double loss. You're losing mm-hmm. the relationship, yeah. right, that you had a lot of hope in, and, you know, your dreams of having children. And so I hear you kind of wanting to minimize the loss. But I think this also may have been a way for him to back out of the relationship if yeah. he felt like it wasn't right.
True.
Knowing
so
that
true.
That would be a, you know, a deal breaker for you.
Good insight. Yeah.
So I think someone who would either use that or would change his mind on something so important to you, when you think about that in terms of his character for someone you'd like to be with long term, I think you really need to look hard at that.
There's real character issues there, mm-hmm. Tina, with him, because he lied to himself and to you when he said he wanted kids. He used the don't want kids to break up with you. He cannot deal with things directly. He has to deal with them indirectly, and mm-hmm. you would have all kinds of issues developing over time with somebody who has that characterological flaw.
Yeah, I guess my next question was going to be, you know, because I've been hoping and I've been emailing and texting him with no response. I do know he's read them because I get the notification that he's read them, but he hasn't responded at all. And I'm realizing I'm definitely, just from reading Mylan's book, I'm definitely a vacillator and he's definitely an avoider. And my question was going to be, is there anything I can do to get him to open up? And even at this point, knowing how he is and how he handles things, because he dropped the bomb on me and then broke off communication. Mm-hmm. Is it the kind of man I really want to be with?
I would hope not.
That's what we're yeah. saying to you, Tina.
Yeah.
That's what we're
yeah.
saying
so,
to you.
Yeah.
That it hurts now, so it's the pain of letting go. So don't cling on to something just because it hurts to let go of it.
Mm-hmm. Let me try to give you a little analogy here, okay? I hope it'll help. All right?
Okay.
Let's say you had really been wanting a dog, okay? And you discovered this man's a cat. It'd be silly to pursue a cat when you want a dog, right? He's a cat.
Right.
He's not. I don't want to put cats down because this man, he really
well,
hurt
he's
you.
Not
he
what
hurt
he's,
you.
He's not what he pretends to be.
Well, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Using that stupid analogy. But anyway, I just hope you never forget it. Don't try to call the cat when you're wanting to be with a really cool dog. Okay. So here's the deal.
Cool.
You can heal, and if you trust God. Now here's the thing. If you trust God. If you let God direct your path, he's going to produce a redemptive act from all of this through redemptive relationships. And you're going to look back and you're going to say, wow, it seems like that was meant to be all along. Now, if you rebel against God and go the opposite way, well, who knows what would happen there. But I have found over and over again, at the point of our greatest pain, God is there with a plan. And he doesn't just hand it to you. He says, you got to step out, heal, do the work, trust me, I love you, Doesn't feel like it, but I love you and I'm here for you. He said, I will wipe away your tears. He didn't say, I'm going to prevent everybody from having tears. No, he said, I'm going to wipe them away. If this was the Garden of Eden, the man would have wanted children and you'd have married him and you'd have had children. We're not in the garden anymore. It's a fallen world. Okay?
Yeah.
We are for you. And I hope you've got a shoulder to cry on, somebody to hug you, love you. Absolutely. All right. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. I'm going to give you a subscription to TV.NewLife. I'm going to ask everybody to pray for you because all you did was trust a man to be truthful. And all you men who have a little bit of a lie down inside, or a lot of a lie down inside, and you haven't revealed it, why don't you just go ahead and break the heart now rather than later? And you women, the same way. If you're in that same situation, you know they're not going to like this truth you're going to reveal. Reveal it sooner than later. Could change everything. All right, by the way, it is Flag Day today, so be sure and fly your flag and honor this country. I want to read you a little testimony from Women in the Battle. It says, before this weekend, I was so weary. My husband of 16 years had just relapsed again. I felt empty and weak, but the weekend was strengthening and encouraging. The blessing of being there on scholarship helped me overcome some feelings of insignificance. It felt like God and New Life saw my pain and my need and that I was important and significant enough to be helped. I have renewed hope and I have friends that are walking along this difficult road with me. I feel cared for, seen, and loved. Hallelujah. I mean, that's what we're hoping will happen in every case. If you have been hurt, traumatized by, betrayed by someone with a sexual integrity problem, Women in the Battle could change everything for you. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and let us help you. Okay? 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, if you can support us, well, we'll send you a wonderful book, The Emotionally Destructive Relationship. Leslie Vernick wrote that. Could really be a big help. Or ask for a Life Recovery Bible. That Bible, oh my goodness. You read those notes and it's like it was just written right for you in your pain and in your struggle right now. And I just hope, that when you're in your quiet time, you're reading the Bible. And you're reading a Bible that can lead you to the truth of the Scripture. A lot of people, they just get some kind of weird philosophy thing and think that's God's Word. No, read the Bible. It'll change you. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person. For the first time in my life, I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. You know, Women of the Battle is June the 24th in Dallas, coming right up, and Every Man's Battle is July the 8th in Chicago. So many things that we do that could transform your life. When you support the ministry, it's all about transformation. And July 22nd, we're going to transform some relationships in our intimacy intensive for marriage. I just hope and pray that you'll look into it if you want to find a new level of intimacy that you've never experienced before. It really could change everything. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's the number to call if you need some help or if you could help us transform lives. It's all we want to do. It's what we were doing in 1988 when we started an inpatient psychiatric program. Now we do them on the weekends in hotels. Bizarre how much change occurs, and it really is for you if you want transformation. If you want to feel a little better, take a pill. But no, don't take the pill. But what we're trying to do, we're not trying to help you just feel a little better. We want you to feel a little worse so you finally do whatever it takes to get over this thing, get through this thing, change. That's what transformation is all about. All right. If you're on the line, hold on. This will be our final caller for this program. But if not, please hold on. We've got other programs we're going to do. And if you want to join us, you're listening. Maybe you can join us in the next hour or the one after that at 1-800-229-3000. But right now we'll talk with Charlie from Dallas, Texas. Hey, Charlie, how are you?
Oh, I've had better days, I'll admit.
Okay, what's going on?
He turned 16 today. I'm actually sitting in front of the prison waiting to visit him.
Oh, my goodness.
He's suffered from sexual immorality issues and other, ADHDs and immaturity issues all of his life.
Uh-huh.
And my gut instinct told me that he was suffering from the sexual immorality being bad. And when he was 11, he committed a major offense. I caught him having an infant toddler slapping his genitals. And, of course, I tried to get help. And I've just reached that point where I got him some help, and then it failed, I guess you'd say. And so then they went back and prosecuted him, and they've thrown him in jail, and they're giving him more training. And I'm just to that point. I don't know to trust the training, to trust him, or when to just quit. And sometimes I worry that my supporting of him keeps him from hitting the bottom.
Well, hold on a second.
Sounds like he's hit the bottom, Charlie.
But hold on a second. Where did all this start with him? What was he exposed to and all of that?
Well, when he was 11, I caught that. And I already had a gut instinct that he had been exposed and molested by his father.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't force a child to tell you. You can ask them open-ended questions, but you can't force it. So I had him in counseling. He had been in counseling from the time he was 7 till I caught it. And then when I caught him, the only way to get him help was to hand him over to CPS and say, here, y'all have to get him help because I can't help him. Because I couldn't afford the money to take him to the specialty schools to train him not to do this. And he was with them 20 months total with the one that ended up helping him the most. And he, within 2 months, told me that, yeah, his daddy had molested him.
Mm-hmm. And so where is daddy?
Tears and pain. I don't know. You can check online under the sex offender list because his dad actually molested me and I had him prosecuted when I was about in my mid-20s. Mm.
Okay, so the question you're wanting to know is what now? I mean, we get it.
When do I know he's either healed and to start to trust him or to just putting out there on the edge and, you know, say, yeah, I love you, you know, do it all from a distance and just kind of quit being close enough.
We don't have a lot of time, but let me give you a different strategy, and then Jill and Dave can fill in. But what you want to do is not ask any more or mention about him being healed. What you want to know is he consistently working a program? Is he going to meetings? Is he in relationship with the healing professionals or the recovery community or both? Is he actively involved in transforming his life on a day-to-day basis? Those are the things you need to look for if you want to have any kind of hope. When they're not there, there is no hope. Jill, Dave, what are you guys thinking?
Well, I think that that's great advice because mm-hmm. it's not something you get healed from. It's something that you have to deal with the precipitating issues and then grow beyond it and mature to where those are no longer an issue. So you'll see that in his relationships. If he has relationships with other men that are healthy and solid, that's going to be a big sign to you that he's maturing and growing and experiencing release from the obsession of that he was a part of. But don't think about healing because that sounds like it's a one-time deal.
Well, and it sounds like you're waiting for this to all be behind you so that you can go on and mm-hmm. start the life that you wanted. And unfortunately, things have taken a different path. And so, yeah, he's got to be an ongoing. And because, you know, he's being dealt with, it sounds like almost like an adult, he's got to begin to take responsibility. I mean, you can be alongside him to the degree that he's willing to take responsibility for what's happened in his life. And I think part of his treatment, however which way he can get it, needs to be involved in, you know, therapy that'll look at the trauma that happened to yeah. him. He's got to get to the root of some of this.
And I think an important sign would be that he takes responsibility for what he did
mm-hmm.
and doesn't minimize it or doesn't
rationalize
it.
Well, he doesn't have any problems talking about, this is what I did. You mm-hmm. know, he'll write it out. This is what I did. This is who I done it to. You know, he went through the program, that second program that CPS put him in. I mean, he told you. He wrote down everything he did
okay.
to whom.
Well,
and
right.
how.
Okay, so now,
okay.
So then, didn't you say
beginning.
That? Great. Now, what are we going to do in response to that that's different? Or, mm-hmm. son, do you want to spend the rest of your life in jail? And that sometimes that is the path that is taken. And, oh, we hate that. And
mm-hmm.
I want to send you a Life Recovery Bible, a teen edition Life Recovery Bible to give him. It's soft cover. He can have that in prison. And you may have to do it through the chaplain there. But, man, I want to see him recover. Mm. And I want him to see
him be in a recovery process.
Yeah, and that
absolutely.
This be a victory here.
And have remorse and be able to really grieve what happened to him in childhood.
And isn't this just the typical thing where mm-hmm. we see, you know, these things don't just happen out of nowhere.
No,
I mean, he was molested
no.
by...
No, there's a reason
for it. And they get acted out, right? And now he has to live with those bad feelings of who he has become
right.
instead of, you know, what happened to him.
Mm. All right. Well, I tell you, our kids are exposed to so much stuff. They need so much help. You can't protect them from everything, but you can prepare them. Solomon and I, we're going to go do our father-son weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're going to talk about every little bird and every little bee that you could ever imagine. And you
okay,
know,
we'll
not,
be praying for you.
If you're not doing that, dads, preparing your son for every young man's battle is a resource. You just read it. You just read it out loud. But there's so much good stuff out there to help equip a young man to face the challenges. Thinking you're just going to cut off everything from the internet and all this, it'll never work. You got to prepare them. So anyway, if you need a resource, we've got it for you. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, one of our amazing transformational weekends could change everything, especially the one Dave and I are going to be doing. Take your life back. You got to go. You got to come. If you need some help, you come. Thanks, Jill. Thanks, Dave. Thanks to all of you who watch and listen. Call us, help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time.
Thanks for listening.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.